Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
I think that theme needs more cowbell.
It needs more definitely more cowbell. Yeah.
We are here on a Saturday morning broadcasting live to our audience to talk about meningococcemia at the University of Oregon and maybe in California.
That's right. The southbound migration of ducks may be putting your child at risk.
Spring break. And we have Nima Parfathy from Auburn Oaks Care Center.
Ta-da, I'm here.
And he'll be talking about?
Skilled nursing,
maybe even long-term care. Who knows?
A little bit of both.
Might get wild.
We've got time.
Cool. Okay, so what we're going to do now is jump into our regular stuff on our show before we get into all that neat subject matter we just teased
which is
about.
The housekeeping stuff. So hang on, bear with us.
Yeah. And you will be able to call in. We'll talk about that more later. Before that, though, I want to tell the people listening to not only the live show, but also the recorded show, listening back on the archived episodes years into the future.
Right.
And what
maybe civilizations on Mars.
Civilizations into the future. You can sign up for our email newsletter by going to medicallyspeakingradio.com and just on the right side of the screen there, putting in your name and email address. And in fact, you don't even have to put your last name and zip code, even though it asks for them. It'll still accept it.
Future civilizations probably won't be able to receive our email, though.
Hey.
They will be beamed directly into their heads.
I'm doing everything I can to make sure they get it.
Okay.
Yeah. We're working on it. I mean, we're like Elon Musk here, coming up with things that you can fix in the future. You don't have to take your car in to get it done. It just happens.
My hipness level must be slipping because I don't know who Elon Musk is. Is that something that you can buy at a
Tesla Motors?
Oh,
and there it is right there. Okay.
All right. So, we do have something coming up on March 26th at, I believe they're doing it at Oakwood Village. This is a dementia workshop. And this one, I want people to hear about this one because this is for people who have somebody with dementia in their family. And you may have some legal issues you want to address, get ready for before the time comes. And this is, you know, just getting your affairs in order when you still can, when the family member actually has the wherewithal to make decisions. So this is Thursday, March 26th, legal planning for memory loss. And I'm going to read the little flyer that we received. It says, join Dustin McFarland, local elder law attorney, for this interactive program where you will have a chance to learn about important legal issues to consider, how to put plans in place, how to access legal resources near you. This program will cover information for families and individuals dealing with Alzheimer's disease or a related dementia. The topics covered will include making legal plans that fit your needs, legal documents you'll need, and what they mean for all of you, and how to find legal assistance. So this is at Oakwood Village. The phone number for this workshop is 916-965-5565. So this is one of those free workshops where they bring people in. And apparently an attorney is going to come along because he's going to get some business out of it, telling the people some information that could help them. I should also, might as well tell them that my brother does this stuff too. He's an attorney. His name is Robert Vaughn. He's in town. His phone number is 885-6400. That's area code 530-885-6400.
I wish his name were Saul.
Saul Vaughn?
No, yeah, because you better call Saul.
Better call Saul.
Better call Saul. Oh my God.
And if you don't know what that is, just go to bettercallsaul.com.
There you go.
You'll have laughs for an hour.
Okay, we're joking around about it, but the getting advanced directives and all that sort of thing is pretty important. We'll get into that with Nima a little later.
Oh, that's right. That's a Nima subject.
It's a Nima subject, and we'll definitely want to get into it because
That's something that comes up quite a bit.
And once it's too late, it's too late. So
But
let's figure out about that southbound flock of ducks.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
I think so. This is breaking news, and
so you kind of covered the newsy side of it. Yeah. Tell me what you found, and then I'll fill in with the medical side.
Well, apparently there have been an outbreak of meningitis?
Let me jump in right here. Yeah. The infection is by an organism called Neisseria meningitidis.
Is it a bacteria or a virus?
It is a bacteria in the same family as Neisseria gonorrhea. Actually, same genus, different species.
Okay.
But this is the one that's responsible for a lot of cases of contagious meningitis that you hear. That's why the name is meningitidis. Meningitis being an infection of the lining of the brain and spinal cord. Very serious infection. Hits young people. Now, when I say young, I mean either like newborns, infants, or people in the age range of approximately 16 to 22. So we're talking high school, college. And that's why those are the people we normally vaccinate.
It's potentially fatal.
Absolutely. In fact, Neisseria meningitidis is 10 to 20% fatality if you get it.
Yeah, that's not good.
Those aren't good odds.
That's not great odds.
And that's actually what we see up at University of Oregon. They've had, what, 6 cases? Is that right?
6 cases. Now, we have a student population of 22,000, of which only 9,000 have been vaccinated. So that's less than half the population have been vaccinated. 6 have come down with the symptoms.
1 died.
1 has actually died. And now it's spring break. And all those students, those ducks are flying
ducks
south.
Ducks are migrating south. Yeah. Do you know how many are in California?
I don't know, but I would suggest that the usual places where students gather for spring break, amongst the other social precautions they might take, would be to check that student ID. If they're from Oregon, you go find yourself a nice UCLA guy.
We have a special bar for you guys, please.
Yeah. Well, okay, so how is it spread then?
Okay, it actually is respiratory droplets, so if somebody coughed in your face, that's scary. Lots of kissing and sharing of utensils and drinks goes on with that age group.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's just what they do on spring break. They share
Perfect
utensils.
Perfect time for this.
They share drinks and they kiss. Go figure. And that's how you get it. Yeah, that kind of kissing. Thank you for demonstrating.
In that order.
Yeah, why is Nima stepping away from you?
Yeah. Well, it's radio. They can't release.
Yeah. What you can't tell is I'm actually stepping closer to him.
I have to disinfect that microphone, Larry.
Yeah, boy.
So, yeah, it's very, I shouldn't say very, it's not as contagious as like a cold or flu. But it is contagious, and so much so that we're seeing this spread around the campus, and people are getting it.
For spring break or even any college campus, it's never a good thing. You're like, oh, you can spread it by sharing drinks and kissing? Oh, yeah, we should have that in a college, and it's not going to spread at all.
Okay, so symptoms.
Okay, symptoms are just flu-like symptoms if you get what they're more concerned about with these students. For some reason, they're getting more the meningococcemia type of infection, which is the blood infection, but is very, very serious. And then there's the meningitis, which is the lining of the brain and spinal cord, and that's kind of the headache along with all the other symptoms and some neck stiffness. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Make sure you remind me I talk about that. The cold and flu symptoms, like you may have a cough with it, but really what we're talking about is being really just tired out of it, possibly mental status changes, high fever, body aches. And then the thing that's really a hallmark for it is a very typical rash that has something called petechia or purpura. And these are almost bruise-like looking, but they're kind of small. They have a real classic look when you've seen it. And when you start seeing that on somebody, you've just got hours to get antibiotics into them. And I'm serious, hours. People die within 48 hours of catching it. And one in 10 to 1 in 5 died, which is what we had at Oregon. 1 in 6 died.
And as I read, if they don't die, they could still come back with some neurological deficits.
Deafness.
Or loss of limbs.
Seriously. And the reason is because it just ravages the vascular system, your blood vessels.
Doesn't the blood clot within the system?
It uses up all the clotting components in your blood, and it causes something called disseminated intravascular coagulation, which sounds like clotting in all the vessels. But it's not that you have just blood vessels full of clot. It happens in such a way that they dissolve and use up the clotting components. So then you can't clot. Hmm. So you just bleed into everything. One of the really bad things is
like hemorrhagic fever. It's our own little form of Ebola.
Kind of. They'll bleed into their adrenal glands. And again, they're dead within hours.
So if you're not scared enough.
Yeah. Don't go to Oregon.
Well, here's the thing. We have a meningococcal vaccine, the meningitis vaccine that you give to babies and teens.
Okay.
The problem is the one that we have covers strains A, C, Y, and W.
But this one's B.
This one's B. It's not covered, but they have.
They have a vaccine available.
They've been giving it like crazy up at University.
And they're giving them away or subsidizing them. They normally cost $170 per. But it's a series of vaccines, and it takes how long to take effect?
Well, that's the thing. It takes a couple weeks before you even get any efficacy.
Right, so there's still that window of opportunity where you could.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be sharing drinks or sucking face with somebody else.
Absolutely,
right? From Oregon, particularly.
Well, in particular, because that's where the outbreak currently is.
Okay, so if you get a little statistical information on this, there are 2,000 cases of this, or 2,500 cases of this nationally, in a population of 300 million people. So that doesn't sound like a lot. In fact, if you do the math on that, you have to go 0.000. It's like 5 zeros and an 8. Yeah. However, the University of Oregon, 6 cases in only 22,000, that's 0.0027, or roughly 34 times the national average.
Because they have an outbreak.
Because they have an outbreak.
That's where it's at. Yeah. This has been going on since, is it January or February?
Yeah.
So it's been kind of stretched out that these 6 cases have occurred.
But even still, within a 3-month period, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and the incubation period is what, like 10 days or something?
Actually, it's less than that. But yeah. And you know, I don't know off the top of my head exactly how long it is, but I know it's less than that. Yeah. Which is part of the reason it's stretched out as long as it is, that it is days, it's not hours for you to get it.
So the public health gurus in Oregon have made an appeal and sent them out to physicians. And I think you got one, right?
Got notified last night because of all the spring breakers coming home. And there's, I think, 4,200 California residents at the University of Oregon. So they sent something out. I got it through Sutter. They sent something out to all of their doctors telling us, hey, you could see this.
So if you see a student presenting with flu-like symptoms,
what are you
supposed to do?
You find out they're from Oregon.
With a tank top, you know, sun's out, guns out, then it's all
right,
bad.
Right. That's right. If they're really sick, and certainly if they have the rash, you give them IV antibiotics before you do anything else. And in fact, I've had a case like this in the past when I was at Kaiser in the emergency department. We had this case come in where the guy went to the high school where we knew there was an outbreak of meningitis. And I believe it was this same, not the C strain, but it was Neisseria meningitidis, the same bacteria. And one of his classmates had died. He had been in contact with him. Jeez. And he was sick. This guy was miserable. He did not feel like talking. He had the headache. He had the fever. And he even had the rash, the little purplish areas of a little, what we call a macula, or an area of the skin that's well demarcated that has this color on it. He had them on his body. And we put the antibiotics in him without anything else, got him in from triage, put the antibiotics in, then we did the spinal tap. Mm-hmm. Even though that lowers the chance of the spinal tap catching the organism, you don't care when you know what it is. You get the antibiotics in them first. You can test later and assume what it was, or now they have testing you can do even after you give the antibiotics. They can run something called PCR on it and find out that, oh yeah, he had it. And they do that for tracking purposes.
Well, but there's less harm in giving an antibiotic when it's unnecessary than it is to delay the antibiotic.
In this situation, when the risk factors are there and the clinical picture fits it, absolutely give it. Don't delay it.
How aggressive do you guys get with the antibiotics? What do you give them? I mean, do you start with like Vanco? I mean, do you
go? It's called Rocephin.
You go Rocephin. Okay.
Or that's the brand name for it. We call it vitamin R in the emergency department because there's so many things that you use it for, especially in pediatrics. But you don't need it as much as you used to because of the vaccines that we're giving for Haemophilus influenza, for the meningitis vaccine for the kids, and the pneumonia shot. You hardly see these encapsulated bacterial infections that cause the meningitis like you used to before I got into residency.
And that was just before they discovered that lack of vitamin C causes scurvy, weren't you?
Just before. That's the kettle calling the pot black.
Well, right? Here we go.
Happy birthday to you.
For those of you who can't see, he's actually wearing a Marilyn Monroe wig right now.
And I get away with it.
He was conceived at Woodstock.
Yeah, we often say that on the show, but of course, the reason I can't get away with that is because so many people that listen to the show know my folks.
Yeah, they're like, so where were you guys that day?
No. Other things about the meningitis vaccine. So they have the strain B vaccine up in Oregon that was just released in time for this, pretty much.
So
like within the year, I believe.
But this is the strain that's coming out.
Yeah, we don't have any vaccine.
And they haven't got the vaccine yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, they just put it where the outbreak is because this is kind of a ramp up the CDC and get stuff out there type emergency. But if we do see the students here, we're going to be sending them to the emergency department, I actually would have to check to see if we even have the Rocephin in stock. We do carry it off and on, but we don't always have it in an office like this because, how often do we see something like that?
So students on spring break consort only with students not from the University of Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Keep away from
Sorry, you ducks out there. I've ruined your spring break.
Yeah.
You know what? We actually do have listeners who may want to call in, so I'll go ahead and tell them how to do that. if you have a question about this, and we'll go ahead and start talking to Nima pretty soon, but go ahead and call if you have a question for him or about the meningitis outbreak. You can call in to us by using Skype. So you're listening to the live page now, if you're hearing this live. And on the right side of the screen, there's a little blue circle with a blue S inside of the circle. If you click on that and you have Skype installed, you'll actually call into the show. So go ahead and do that at any time. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to take your questions. And in fact, if you are already signed up with our email newsletter, and I know because I checked the list, and I'll check it if you tell us your name.
It takes some hours to check through it.
Yeah. Yeah. We will give you, we'll give somebody, we'll decide at the end of the show who we're going to give it to. We will give one caller a certificate for breakfast for two to Tofanelli's in Grass Valley, up to $25 value.
This is good stuff.
Tom from Auburn got it on a previous show. He took a selfie of himself and put it on Facebook. It's real. Yeah. So go ahead and keep that in mind. And we have listeners to this show, so you guys can call in. Nima, what is your position?
So I'm the director of community. Much closer. I'm the director of community relations for Auburn Oaks Care Center. It's a skilled nursing facility.
And you are the face.
I am the gorgeous face of this building.
So, can you explain to the listeners who may not know what is a skilled nursing facility as opposed to various other types of care?
Yeah, and we get that quite a bit. So, with skilled nursing, we get people from the hospital, orthopedic patients. You know, people that have knee surgeries, hip replacements, things like that, or even just something medical that they need to come in for, like IV antibiotics, all that kind of jazz. So with us, we do physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. We have 24-hour nurses there. We have our MD team there that's there daily. We're also a Kaiser contracted facility, a VA contracted facility. So, you know, everybody gets confused. They come in like, well, what kind of place is this? You know, we're not an assisted living. You know, next door to us is Oakwood Village. They're an assisted living. They have a memory care unit. There's independent living that's, you know, like the Oaks of Auburn that is, you know, they don't have, you know, nurses, things like that. It's just more or less people are just living there. But with us, no, we're skilled nursing.
And so the point of a skilled nursing facility often is that it's less expensive to recover there than it would be in a hospital.
What happens usually, I mean, somebody goes in for a knee replacement, you know, they're in the hospital for a couple days. Yeah. Then after that, they still need some rehab before they go back home, you know. Yeah. So they come to us. And we get them the rehab that they need. We strengthen them up. They do everything with physical therapy, occupational therapy, and we get them back home.
And send them on their way.
Mm-hmm.
So about what age group are you usually working with?
In all honesty, it varies. Like we have people there, you know, in their late 20s. We have people there all the way to, you know, 102. We actually had somebody celebrate their 102nd, 103rd birthday just recently. Because with us, we have two sides. We have the skilled nursing, rehabilitation, higher acuity side. Then we also have people that transition to our long-term care, you know, under Medi-Cal. So, you know, we have people that just, that is their home.
How did you get into this business?
I won it in a Cracker Jack box.
You know, really?
No. You have a job now. Oh, Auburn Oaks. I guess I'll go. I used to work on an ambulance back in, after college. I started working for ambulance companies and an EMT for them. And then got into just starting to do training and then kind of a little marketing piece for one of the ambulance companies I worked with. And then it just kind of took off from there.
So you were an EMT yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Back in the day, I was skinnier, more hair.
Where?
I first started out, it was a small company out in San Leandro called Medcon Ambulance. Oh, it was great. You know, it was just like, you know, we got the dispatch phone at night and it was just, you know, me and a guy sitting there in like our apartment, just like, okay, we're waiting for a call. It was great.
You know, this is fertile ground for some excellent anecdotes. Is it time?
Yeah.
Why not?
We need a little jingle thing for, and now it's time for anecdote.
Yeah. Anecdote. We're putting Nima on the spot, guest. But I just know there's some cool stories coming out.
In all honesty, I've worked there. I've worked at First Responder Ambulance. I've worked at, you know, Alpha One and I did the marketing for them. But when you were on a rig, oh, those were good times. I will never forget those. Well, my first job in San Leandro, we were driving down the road, and I kid you not, all of a sudden, it was like 2 a.m, and we're in a kind of seedy part of town. All of a sudden, we hear this ding, ding, and we just didn't even think anything
of it.
Then we got out.
Your car, isn't it?
We got it. Went to go get gas, and we came out. I was like, are those bullet holes?
Oh, my goodness.
We're like, oh, great.
That's what it sounds like.
That's exactly what it was.
Ding, ding.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So we had some pretty good stories.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know if you were just collateral damage or they're shooting at you.
No, I think they were just bored. Be like, I bet you I can hit that ambulance from here.
Oh, my. They'll know what to do.
Yeah. Somebody lost a bet. You know, it's like, oh, my God, he actually hit it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun driving around, like, even the seedy parts of Sacramento, and you're like, and there's a hooker.
That's okay. Right there. Well, so ambulance drivers need to roll up on the scene. We'll get back into your current job later. You roll up on the scene, and you always ask the question, how did this happen?
Oh, right.
What's the best answer you've ever had to the question? So how did this happen to you?
Oh, okay. There is actually one story. So there was a car that was flipped. I mean, did a couple flips on the freeway. And me and my partner were driving by. Obviously, if you see it, you know, you stop. And this car is just mashed. And it's on its side. The woman is standing up, just blood coming out of her head, all this kind of stuff. And she's just standing there. And then my partner goes up to her and is like, hey, are you okay? What happened? And she just looks at him and is like, are you kidding me? What happened? Nothing. I put the parking brake on. And then all of a sudden the car decided to crunch itself. No. So, yeah, and we were just sitting there and he kept asking her like, what, you know, what is your name? And she kept telling him, he's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, now's not a time to keep asking. You're like, no, I really need that name. I'm so sorry. Like, it's Esmeralda. What is it? Esmeralda. I'm sorry. What is that again? It's like, no, bud, just move. I got this.
Let's get the bleeding stopped.
Oh my gosh, it was just great. Yeah.
So coming back
Auburn
to Oaks. Of
there you go. Skilled nursing, yes.
Auburn Oaks Care Center. Mm-hmm. Why would we pick Auburn Oaks? This is commercial time. Actually, we'll play your commercial in a little bit.
Oh, perfect.
But commercial time. Why would we pick Auburn Oaks?
So we have a great care team. We're a 5-star facility. We won best of the best 3 years in a row from the Auburn Journal for skilled nursing and senior care. And, you know, the good thing about us is our therapy team, they're all in-house. You know, there's not an outside contracted agency that comes in, so you get a continuum of care. So if you see Tom one day, you're going to see Tom the next day. And, you know, like, so you don't run into problems that somebody comes and sees you like, hi, my name's Jim. Okay, you're at about a 7 today. And then, you know, tomorrow a girl named Linda comes in and says, you know, I actually think you're about a 6. And you're just sitting there like, how did I decline so much in one day? So you see the same person and say that you're doing better than yesterday. You're absolutely doing better than yesterday.
And what's unique is both Larry and myself have been in Auburn Oaks Care Center. Mm-hmm. I've been there as a physician just looking because we have patients go to these places. And what I observed was there was a patient who was in a wheelchair, was not safe to be
out of the wheelchair.
That's
right, you were there for that, yeah.
And she was trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the hallway there. And this alarm went off before she could even get out. There was some kind of alarm actually.
Yeah, we have the bed alarm, the wheelchair alarms. And yeah.
And there were 4 people on her before she could even fully stand up. In fact, you were one of them.
Yeah, I think I was mid-sentence with you. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I got to go.
Yeah. So the supervision, the staffing,
mm-hmm.
you know, I did not announce, hey, I'm coming. So you guys get,
that was even better. I like that. Yeah. You got to see it just.
And yeah, I did. I saw, wow, you guys really do have good staffing at this place and are on it when a patient needs something.
We pounce. Yeah.
I was impressed with that. And then Larry, you actually had, was it a family member who was there?
Yeah, I did. Whose condition improved vastly after being admitted, and then was able to go to you'd call a lower level of care,
mm-hmm.
another place. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, she kind of graduated from our program and we were able to get her to an assisted living facility.
Far more functional.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go ahead and actually play a word from our sponsor.
Auburn Oaks.
That's not it.
No.
I haven't started playing it yet. And then afterwards, we'll go ahead and take questions from our live listeners.
So, yeah, get your questions together while we play our jingle. We'll try to write a better jingle.
Yes. As soon as the commercial's over, hit your Skype button and call in.
Auburn Oaks Skilled Nursing Center on Bell Road is a team of physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, and rehabilitation therapists who are there during an extraordinary time in your life. We provide the necessary essentials you need to weather through the storm. Call us. The first thing we'll do is listen. Then you'll get expert advice on what to expect. You'll know that Auburn Oaks is the best skilled nursing care center when you learn more about us. Make the decision and go to auburnoakscarecenter.com.
Okay. Nobody called.
Well, no, they're supposed to call now as well.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry. You don't want to call during the commercial. That would just be, you know, self-defeating.
That's just ridiculous.
It Who knows how the sponsor might retaliate if we...
Yeah, right.
If we're within striking distance.
If we had callers over their commercial. Yeah. I think I'd play it again. I think that's what
While waiting for that to happen, though, we had started to talk about advanced directives. And,
oh, that's
and
right. Legal. Nemo's going to help us through that.
With another family member, we had that issue. Before the person becomes or can be declared incompetent or whatever, you know, if they're mm-hmm. sliding inexorably toward that point, they need to have someone take over that, you know, who has advanced directive for your medical care, who has advanced directive for your financial well-being and that kind of thing. And because that's what they can't make the decision themselves.
And that's what we've been seeing quite a bit. I mean, I get calls all the time, people, you know, inquiring, they say, you know, we're at a point now that, you know, mom needs to go to a skilled nursing. We can't take care of her at home anymore. And I always ask them, like, well, do you have Medi-Cal in place? No. Okay, well, are you the power of attorney? Well, we haven't done that either. It's like, these are all things that, you know, when it happens, you know, it all comes at once. And you know,
and if you don't get that power of attorney and stuff in place, then guess who else takes over for you? Doesn't the state or it falls into like a conservatorship situation?
Conservatorship, yeah, exactly. And that just, it becomes a whole huge mess.
Yeah, so, you don't want the government running that part of your life.
No. And that's why we always encourage people, like, you know, I love the people that call, you know, earlier and they say, listen, it's not there yet, but, you know, I feel like maybe in another year or two, we're going to have to move in that direction. So that's great.
Somebody we probably calling? Should announce our phone number.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Skype. Then the way you get it is you go to the website. Well, you're on the website if you hear us live. On the right side of the screen, there's a little social icon collection. One of them is the Skype one. It's a blue circle with a blue S in the circle.
Just click that and it'll automatically be us.
If you have Skype already installed, it comes right to us. So, and now's the time to do it. So we go ahead
there's
and
no
questions.
Phone number necessary. Okay.
But did either of you guys have questions about the meningitis or meningococcal?
So what kind of all of a sudden this just kind of popped up in University of Oregon? So what really brought this on?
Where is it? Where does this thing live
between
cases or between outbreaks? It's estimated that up to a third of people actually have it living on their bodies.
They are colonized.
Without having symptoms. They're the typhoid Marys or the meningitis Marys. Is it? Yeah, there's alliteration there. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Yeah.
If Mary is spelled with M-E, meningitis Mary.
Anyway, you may have it and not know it and be distributing it.
And usually they're not spreading it. It's just the unique situation where you share the glass with the wrong person and, hey, you've got type B meningococcal disease.
To bring it back to the present subject, we talk about this meningitis as if the at-risk population is college students. But doesn't not infants maybe or the elderly?
Infants and then about 16 to 22 years of age. And we're talking about people who live in really close contact.
Right.
Because you really have to be with them for a while to get it. For example, healthcare workers or people who are just happen to be in contact with somebody, but they don't live with them. We use this figure of about 4 hours of close contact, you know, like being in the same room, touching, having this 4 hour period. That we say, you know, if you were with them that long when they were symptomatic from it, we really need to get you the prophylactic medication, which is an oral antibiotic that you take for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And we do that. In fact, I had to take that when I was in contact with that patient at Kaiser.
So that we don't give ourselves whiplash too bad jumping back and forth between subjects. Does meningitis pose a threat to the any institutionalized populations, for example, such as at?
Yeah, yeah. If you're living in close quarters of people, like college dorms, where you got your roommates right there, military recruits, prisons, if they're sharing cells, long-term facilities, depending on how they do their rooming, you know, if you don't all have private rooms.
And we isolate. When something like that, any kind of infection comes up, anything that's, you know, droplet precautions, anything like that, we isolate the patient from the rest of the population.
Another thing that I was going to talk about, you were supposed to remind me and you didn't.
I was waiting to see if you remember.
That's right. We were talking about the meningitis vaccine, or no, the meningitis symptoms. And I'd mentioned something about stiff neck.
Oh, yeah.
It's not actually stiff neck, although it is. You can have a headache with a fever and a stiff neck, and it's just influenza. Mm-hmm. There's something that happens when people have an infection of the lining of the spinal cord. And this is where, if you were to take and put your hand under their head as they're lying supine on a table, meaning face up, pull up on their head, they don't just bend their neck. Their body comes up because
they articulate
the neck. It doesn't give. That's an extreme case. Of course, you don't have to have it at that extent of stiffness for it to be the meningitis. But there's a couple other signs that we'll use clinically. We'll actually bend their neck, and you can see their knees flex, called Brudzinski sign. And then there's another one where you try to straighten their knee out with their hip flexed a little bit, you know, like their legs up in the air, and you try to straighten the knee, and it won't go. And this is because of the lack of flexibility
in the spine.
That's in the spine. Yeah. Mm. So those are a couple of things that we use to look at this.
Well, back to skilled nursing then. So is there a risk in skilled nursing facility from Oregon Ducks coming down to visit
their grandma, the loved one?
Yeah, yeah, right. if they were to sit there for a few hours and they're touching grandma,
going in to give grandma a kiss, kind of all that stuff.
If we found out that they came down with it after that happened, we'd want to go ahead and treat them to prophylactically treat with the antibiotics and everybody else. So it's a big. And if you know that you've been in contact with somebody from University of Oregon who then you heard had the symptoms or got diagnosed with meningitis, call your doctor. Even if it's on the weekend, call them or just go to the emergency department, if nothing else. Because we can give antibiotics for the treatment of, and they're actually ones that we're giving quite regularly. One of them isn't. One of them called rifampin, which is kind of the first line. Mm-hmm. You don't see it used for other things. It's used for tuberculosis, for example, and then it's used for this. But then there's common ones like ciprofloxacin. That's one that a lot of people have had for urinary tract infections and is very similar to medicines we give for respiratory infections. But the fallback, if those don't work, we would go with just simply azithromycin that a lot of people recognize as the Zithromax. That's the brand name that's used for lots of mainly respiratory infections. Sometimes you can use it for skin infections.
So Nima, have you seen any, you haven't had issues in your facility?
No, that obviously hasn't happened. But now I know to tell the staff, you know, you see anybody with like a, you know, University of Oregon.
Okay, why don't we take this call here?
Did your facility receive anything like abroad?
Our director of nursing may have, so I have to, I'll be asking her right after this show.
Yeah. Okay, caller, who are you calling? I'm sorry, you're calling us. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Jenny.
A little louder there.
My name is Jenny and I'm calling from Auburn.
Okay.
And hi, Jenny from Auburn.
What is your question?
I was wondering about the distinction between the medical services provided at the skilled nursing, the assisted living, and what you called independent living.
Can you repeat her question?
Yeah, so you want to know what the difference is between basically skilled nursing, assisted living, and independent living?
Yes.
The medical distinction. Like for us, we do, you know, wound care, we do IV antibiotics, we do physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. We do all that in a house. You know, when you go to an assisted living, you know, there are people, there are caretakers there that are kind of helping you with, you know, your activities of daily living, you know, they cook your meals for you, all that jazz, and, you know, just kind of do activities.
They administer meds too, don't they?
They basically keep the meds and, you know, they assist people in taking
make
them.
Make sure that you're taking them on time.
But independent living is more or less like it's a senior community. You know, people live in their own apartments. They do what they,
you know, they come and go as they please.
Come and go as they please, yeah.
But there's no on-site medical staff.
Exactly. No.
Right. Go ahead.
If somebody is diabetic and they are insulin dependent, can they be removed from a skilled nursing to assisted living?
You'd have to check with each assisted living and see what their protocol is. I mean, I know a lot of them do. I mean, they can take care of that. That's not a problem at all.
So, is one of the factors whether they have dementia and they can give themselves their own shots or not?
Right. And like, you know, with like Oakwood Village, just as a, you know, example, they have a memory care unit and they have, you know, it's locked and, you know, but there are people that can assist with things like that.
Okay. So in your level of care, the staff gives shots because they're registered nurses? Or
yeah, we have registered nurses. We have LVNs. We have CNAs. We have our medical team that's there. We have a nurse practitioner that is there daily. So we have everything in-house.
So what's the highest level at the assisted living?
In terms of just skilled care?
Yeah, in terms of a medical, what I would consider a medical position. Like, they don't have doctors. Do they have registered nurses or LVNs?
No. I mean, for the most part, they usually don't have registered nurses.
Okay. And who can give a shot? At what level do you have to
Be? LVNs can give shots.
Okay. So maybe they don't have LVNs either?
I know there's one in Grass Valley. I know that somebody I know that works there. She is actually an LVN, and she's able to do that.
Okay. So different assisted living facilities might have different abilities to provide medical services to.
Right. And that's something you have to go to each one of them and ask, like, hey, are you guys able to handle this? You know, is this something that we can, you know, if it's something they can accommodate you with?
Okay, so that's why it seems like it's confusing, because not every assisted living facility has necessarily got the same services.
Right, and that's, you know, that's a good part about going to tour them. They can kind of tell you about all the services that they actually have.
Okay, and then when people are getting ready to be discharged from your facility to something lesser, where they're more independent, but maybe they're not ready to go back to their home or to live on their own, what do you guys provide services?
Or yeah, we have a social services department, and his name is Aaron Jones for us, and he's great. Him and his partner Jessica, they really help families to kind of navigate through all this stuff.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, I appreciate your insight, because it's a pretty confusing path from.
Oh yeah, I know. We get calls all the time from people, because, like, you know, especially if people are in the hospital. You know, sometimes they just go in there and they say, so we need to discharge you in pretty much a couple hours. So which facility do you want to go to? And people are just completely lost. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. I had a similar situation where I had 24 hours.
And yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Why is it that insurance and Medicare or whoever doesn't give a little bit more leeway?
All insurances are different, but like with Medicare is one of the ones that, you know, people have to have a 3-midnight inpatient stay in a hospital for Medicare to kick in.
Yeah, so if they've been in your facility for a month and then given less than 24 hours that they're going to be released according to Medicare, that's pretty...
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, with that, like, let's say somebody's in our facility. Our therapy team and our nursing team is constantly, you know, they're having care conferences about patients and seeing what the plan is. We have care conferences with families just to let them know exactly what the plan is, how their, you know, loved one is progressing, you know, kind of where to go. So we're not just saying, after, you know, on the last day, say, oh, by the way, Medicare is not going to pay for this anymore, so you need to figure something out. Oh. We will give you plenty of opportunity to just kind of get everything set up, and our social services team will work with you to find out what you need to do.
Good. Okay. Well, that's really encouraging. I appreciate that.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for calling, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Well, so this kind of underscores the importance of these workshops that we had talked about earlier. You know, now is the time to get into that workshop. If you think you're going to find yourself potentially in that kind of a decision-making situation, it's best to educate yourself early and understand what the options are rather than being given a two-hour deadline, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because people call me in a panic a lot of the times. You know, they'll call me from the hospital saying, we don't know what to do. Like, they just gave us a list of facilities and they said, well, pick one. Hmm. So, and then, you know, they call and we try to tell them what they need to do, you know, kind of what we do at our facility. And it just, we like to make people relaxed.
And it's pretty hard to relax people when they've been given a fairly weighty decision, a very weighty decision, and 2 hours to make it.
Yeah.
So for people who are in these situations, we should probably tell them they can actually get a hold of you by finding your website off of ours. We're on the banner at the top of Medically Speaking Radio is for Auburn Oaks Care Center. So they can reach you by clicking on that and finding the website.
Absolutely.
Find the phone number and contact information, email, things like that.
I'm on all the time. You can call me on weekends and I'm I'm always there.
And they can reach you through your website?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, good. Is there any other way you want to want us to tell them over the show?
You can call me. My work cell phone number is 916-770-7352. You can call me anytime.
Oh, speaking of phone numbers, my brother does those, Robert Vaughn. His phone number is 885-6400. That's area code 530-885-6400.
Yeah, and it's a good idea to get a living trust and get all that stuff squared away before.
You don't wait till the last minute on this.
Yeah. And I'll have to tell him today when I see him that I did this for him.
Well, so those of you who have been listening, et cetera, even whether live or in the future, you know, on future colonies and Mars, know that NEMA is very accessible and
very
knowledgeable
accessible.
And will help you navigate through these crazy waters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's been really cool to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. That's you led me in the building. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
In the studio and everything. And you behaved yourself. So I really thank you for that.
I'm doing my best right now.
So good. We'll tell your wife you're a good boy.
Yeah, she needs to hear that.
And then I want to tell our listeners that they can share Medically Speaking Radio with their friends who they think might enjoy it just simply by hitting the share button on any of our posts. Also, if they have questions about a particular topic, they can just start asking their question right there on the comments section. I think you have to put in your email address and give yourself a name, but they can ask questions on each of the posts and we'll answer them.
And unlike meningococcal vaccines, bacteria, you can share us. You should share us.
You want to share us.
You encourage this kind of sharing.
Right. And our posts on our Facebook, they can share those. That's Medically Speaking Radio. They can find that on Facebook. And people who, I don't know if they want to or not, but they can follow my tweezer. It's just Dr. Vaughn. But I don't know if people really listening to the show would follow the Twitter or not. Anything else that you guys have before we sign off for another week of Medically Speaking Radio?
Beware of ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah, for this week. Nothing against the University of Oregon. It's just right now we need to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay. So for this time, this is NEMA,
Larry Finney,
and Dr. Mark Vaughn telling all of you to stay in good health.
Yeah.